and welcome to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, I like to thank the radio station for working to make this happen. Mr. John McKay, how are you doing? We were off for a week.
Yes, we were, but it was still a stellar encore.
Well, thanks for filling in for us there. There are just some times in our business with contract deadlines and negotiations. I just wasn't going to make it to the studio.
Well, you know, and that's, you know, not to say a good thing, but a good thing because you were putting your clients first. It's like it came down show or a guest client.
Yeah.
Well, duh. Sorry, encore. I'm going to help this guy.
Well, thank you so much for doing that. It's been crazy, crazy busy. In fact, we always like to kind of lead with our local real estate story and then talk a little bit about a national real estate story. As reported, I'm sure many of our listeners saw in the Tri-City Herald earlier this week, leading article and picture on the front page, and that is home sales are booming. Couple fellow realtors in there, Gail Stack, Ken Paletsky quoted in there with some great quotes and kind of talking about the market. One of the quotes, I don't have it word for word, but Ken Paletsky had said in there that I thought was just very insightful. And that was, if your agent calls you and says you need to look at a house tonight, you probably should go with them tonight and not in the morning. Because if you wait, you know, 24 hours or till the next morning, it might be gone. And so it's really nice to hear other agents, you know, and the rest of the market having that perspective. And as the article reported, we're still looking at low inventory, a record number of sales for our area over the last, you know, 40 years, basically, since they've been keeping track. So, I mean, basically in July, we were on track with approximately 11 home sales a day. So clicking along at an extremely, extremely quick rate. In the studio with us, as always, Mr. Tom Coyne, the lending specialist at Umpqua. Tom, how are you?
I am fantastic and glad to be back here on the show with you.
Okay, that is great. And like I said, so great article in the local news reinforcing what we've been telling our listeners for months. And that's just kind of continuing on and kind of that mid-year check that we're seeing that rock and roll.
You know, Lance, during this time, I meet with clients and it's just a whole different perspective that clients are having to look at it with the low inventory and how fast homes are selling. They're reluctant to put their house up for sale until they find the new house they like because they don't want to sell their house in a day and then have nowhere to move to. And it's just interesting the whole new strategies people are having to take when trying to buy a new home.
Yeah, there's a lot of dynamics that we're really discussing with our customers, especially when we're talking about pre-approval and being ready to pull the trigger on that. Another thing to note in the news again, we mentioned it a couple weeks ago, but I wanted to get out there, is back to school. We've got our teachers going back to school. So a lot of our heroes have been in the news recently. Some tragically, our hearts and prayers go out to firefighters.
Up in Twist, yeah.
And so these are folks that qualify for our Homes for Heroes program. This is why we do that program when we're giving back to those heroes. These are the times when we see why they do what they do and we consider them heroes. So we thank you for that. Our Homes for Heroes program, stats came out last month, kind of mid-year check, that we, over 2,000 affiliates, were the number two affiliate in the United States.
Wow.
So I want to be number one.
Okay. Folks, so something you need to learn. If you haven't noticed already, he's a gentleman and an honorable man, but there is a competitive nature to Mr. Kenmore.
Absolutely. So we were three transactions behind a gal in Minnesota. And so for serving the largest number of heroes out of all of the affiliates in the U.S. So teachers, firefighters, police, and military veterans, We are giving back. We give back 25% of our commission direct to the Hero Act closing to thank them for their service.
Medical professionals, too.
Yep, medical professionals, mm-hmm. too. So we want to make sure that we continue that trend into the second half of the year. And I'd love at the end of the year to say that out of the entire United States, we were the number one Homes for Heroes affiliate. So thank you for all of those referrals. We are open to take more so that we can crush the gallon Minnesota.
See, but he says it with a smile, so it's okay.
Absolutely. So we are good to go there. Now, our national story actually is just here in Washington. We always like to find either a celebrity home or a kind of a crazy home on the market. But I'm taking you up to Bellingham, Washington. There was recently a home on the market, and the owner of that home that was selling was in the lumber industry. His son wanted to have a ships-type theme for his bedroom, so he literally recreated Captain Hook's HMS Endeavor ship and built it on to the outside of the home, so then he had, like, the rear galley windows coming out for his bedroom.
Spoiled!
They never changed it over all these years, and now that home is put back on the market. Now, this isn't one that has that crazy price, because that is going to take a unique buyer. If you can imagine showing homes and you show up, you've shown three, and you show up and you say, okay, out the back patio, you will see, oh yeah, there's Captain Hook's, the rear of his ship over there on the left-hand side of the patio. Unique buyer would need to be able to see and appreciate that. So this is a 4,100 square foot house that was on the market. $425,000 up in Bellingham. So very similar to what you would see for that square footage in the Tri-Cities market. It's just I have yet to see one that had a ship. I've seen a lot of unique things, but a ship would be a new one for me. And I actually prepared a couple days ago for the radio show, and since that property has gone under contract.
Very cool.
So they did find a buyer that was in that unique position.
Does he have a peg leg?
Oh, man. I'm not sure, McKay, on that one. Topic for today's show. One of the things we talk about, what's going on in our local market? What are the changes out there that the consumer needs to be aware of? And a big, big change in our industry that will start to get out to consumers and that they'll see is that recently the Washington Association of Realtors went through a major updating, upgrading, and changing of our statewide forms that we use in our real estate transactions. And so there were some things that needed to be modernized. They needed to include some email provisions that allowed document notice to be given that way. So there were some minor changes and a lot of housekeeping changes that went through. But there were also some major changes that will affect what people see when they go to purchase a house. So I'll start with one that's kind of middle of the road. Our purchase and sale agreement did not have really clear language about what happens with systems and fixtures and appliances in a home once a buyer's gone under contract to then when a seller closes and sells on the house. So, for instance, we can go with one of the things we've seen happen is a heating and air system. So you have a heating and air system in a house, you have your home inspection, and that heating and air system is working. But let's say it's an older system, you know, it's 15 years old or so, it's working fine, or the home inspector says it needs a certain amount of repairs, and you have those repairs done, but the system is working. You go and you're 2 weeks before closing, and the HVAC system completely goes out. The compressor dies or the main computer board blows up. What happens at this point now? Well, when the buyer did their home inspection, they were getting a house that had a heating and air system. They have not closed on it yet. That home is still in the possession of the seller. So very clear, a systems and appliances paragraph was added to our optional clauses places that says, If a system or appliance, heat, electrical, all included items, becomes inoperative or malfunctions prior to closing. Now, prior to closing, that's the key. If it's 3 days after closing, the new buyer owns that home, that's on that buyer. I mean, that's just how those things work. But prior to closing, then the seller shall either repair or replace the same with a system or appliance of at least equal quality. Well, that can be rough, right? Because some of those older HVAC systems, they've changed the refrigerants that they use in them.
No more R22.
Exactly.
We went through this exact scenario. 19-year-old, 20-year-old system.
Yep.
Clunk. We had to get a new one because the guy said, well, by the time I fix it and Band-Aid it, you're better off buying a new one.
Absolutely. So then now the seller might be out another $4,000 or $5,000 that they hadn't planned on. But that buyer needs to get the systems that they were inspected and expected to have prior to closing. Another thing that our forms did is it specified a time period that the seller had to have this done. And so it's very important that it says the buyer reserves the right to reinspect the property within 5 days prior to closing to verify that seller has complied with this paragraph. So what happened a lot of times is a lot of things were getting done last minute. They were getting done right at closing. The buyer's trying to sign their loan documents. They don't know if these repairs have been made. So this contractually forced the seller to go ahead and have those items repaired and done 5 days prior to closing so that the buyer could check that out and make those changes. So that was a significant change in our forms. The next change is probably one, in my opinion, one of the most major changes in our forms, and this will relate nicely with what Tom does at Umpqua and some of the things that go on from his end of things. There was a paragraph added to our financing addendum, and that financing addendum is the seller's request for loan information. So there's a paragraph in there that now says at any time, and 10 days is our autofill, but this is a negotiated time period, after mutual acceptance, the seller may give one time a notice requesting information related to the status of the buyer's loan application. And this is to be done on form, and it lists another form. This is to be done on form 22AL. So then the buyer's loan information notice, within 3 days of receiving seller's request for loan information, the buyer shall give notice to the status of buyer's loan application. So prior to this form change, the seller really did not have a mechanism to find out if the buyer had complied with another contractual term, which is generally to make full application for their loan within 5 days. A lot of buyers don't even realize this. A lot of sellers don't even realize this. But generally, when you sign a purchase and sale agreement, they have to make full application for that loan within 5 days. Now, Tom, on his side and from the lender's side, they have to be careful about information that they disclose, because that buyer is their client. As the seller, that may be important information we need or want to know, but Tom can't really just go around giving out information about his clients to people that are not his clients.
Because very of true, financial kinds, it's just like medical HIPAA. It's exactly. Like financial HIPAA.
So we were missing a mechanism that made that possible for Tom to be able to give that information, and for, quite frankly, for us to truthfully find that information out. This inserted a negotiated mechanism into the form for us to get that information. That form 22AL, pretty simple. I like things simple, and so I love it when I see a form that has one sentence on it, and that is just says, pursuant to section 2 of the financing addendum, the seller requests that the buyer give notice to the status of the buyer's loan application, and they shall use loan information notice 22 to do that.
So basically, it's a way of confirming, yes, you've actually put your money where your mouth is.
That is absolutely correct. And you have not changed lenders without letting us know, or changed to another loan program without letting us know, or failed to submit your pay stubs because you just started your new job 4 days after after you made the offer on the house. So this really gives the seller that mechanism to get and collect that information. I know it's a lot. This is a big change to our forms. It gives the sellers a better mechanism for getting that information. I know we're coming up on our first hard break. When we come back, before it'll roll right into Tom with Umpqua, I'm going to go over what information is on that form that the buyer is required to send back to the seller, and then we'll talk to Tom about some other issues going on with lending right now.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about some major changes in our recent statewide forms, contracts that were used out here writing these real estate deals, and kind of just feet on the ground, everyday type of changes that we're seeing. One of the major changes that we talked about before the break is a mechanism that allows a seller to garner information about a buyer's loan application, if they followed the correct dates, made that on time, and to certify what information they've given the lender and allow a seller to double check on what's going on there. Now, of course, with any mechanism that allows that, there is going to be a punishment mechanism to enforce it, basically. So that is a new paragraph that was also added, and that gives a time period for the buyer to respond, generally negotiated to be about 3 days. Now, if buyer, this is direct language out of our forms, if buyer fails to timely give a seller a completed loan information notice, seller may give the right to terminate notice described in the agreement at any time after that date. Generally, sellers do not have rights to terminate contracts. I mean, it's kind of one of the basis thing, right? That's why it's a contract. Once the seller's agreed to sell, not a lot of mechanisms that allow them to get out of that deal. And I couldn't speak to what those mechanisms are because my license doesn't allow me to. It really gets into the practice of law. But this particular paragraph that is in our form is a seller's right to terminate. If they don't get that information returned to them, the seller then can make a determination that it either wasn't done or it wasn't given to them in a timely manner. And then that gives them the option of potentially terminating that contract.
So if the buyer isn't serious and doing what they're supposed to do, this is basically saying, don't mess around. You want the house, do what you got to do to get it.
Absolutely.
Lance and I were just talking on the break here, and this is news to me, but I really like it because I do come across clients once in a while where, you know, I get a contract from Lance's team and I got 30 days to close. And I call the client immediately as soon as we get the contract, say, you know, let's get you locked. Here are the couple things I'm still needing from you. Let's get you in here to sign your paperwork and let's get your loan started. And I get a call 3 days later. And then they want to come in 2 days after that. And then they show up and they don't have everything that we needed, so we can't start processing. And all of a sudden, we're a week and a half into the contract and I haven't even started the loan yet. So this really reinforces to the client, like, once you're in a contract, you need to go full steam ahead on the loan and keep things moving forward. So I like seeing this.
Yeah, and some of the things, we always talk about pendulum swings, you know, on what happens. And good, bad, or indifferent, there was a time where that pendulum really swung to, you know, it used to be back in the day, 80s, 90s, that it was like, buyer beware, seller is selling this property, it could fall down in 5 days and that's, who cares? Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that bad, but it was really like buyer beware. Then it became like, hey, we really need a massive consumer advocate for the buyers. You know, this isn't right. You know, the buyers need to have, you know, equal
consumer
rights
protection
in this transaction. And for a while, I think that pendulum was about at medium and hanging in the center. And then all of a sudden it swung way up to buyers where it was like, why even have contracts? Because a buyer can get out for any reason and not have to even fulfill their agreements. And some of these stipulations that put back in, I think, are returning some of those rights to the seller And I think that pendulum is coming back towards medium. Now, what I don't like about it, and I'm not afraid to say this, and I tell this to people all the time. Do I love that we have all of these clauses in our paperwork? Yes. Do I love that when I started, 16 years ago, that our purchase and sale agreement with addendums was 4 pages and now it's 21? No, I don't. Okay. But I guess we've added a few pages. So, but I think I'm just, I think that is probably going to be the progression of my career. I'll be able to tell my son that the purchase and sale agreement was 4 pages when I started, and his is, it's 21 now. When he, if he ever wants to do this, maybe it'll be 29. Mm-hmm. So I good, bad, or indifferent, we've added a lot of clauses and scenarios, but there's good coverage in these forms. You do have to be, though, more aware than ever about these changes because they affect your clients. We've done a lot of training with our office. We've done a lot of training with the Washington Association of Realtors Legal Counsel. We've gone through these multiple times because we owe that to our clients. So there's some great changes in here for both sides. Today we talked about a protection for the seller. We also talked about an additional protection for the buyer with systems. So both sides have gotten what I feel is an upgrade overall with these forms.
And another reinforcement of why would anyone ever do a FSBO?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, it scares the heck out of me. I mean, it's hard enough when we know what we're doing and all of the additional training we've been on. There's just there's a lot of things that we think of because we've, done hundreds and hundreds.
Well, it's stunning.
Approaching thousands of transactions. So that is some of the changes on our side. I know Tom's been busy with a lot of things. Tom, what are you thinking about and what's going on with you in the lending world right now that you're seeing out there?
Well, Lance, the very first question I get from a client when we first sit down and meet or we're going through a loan application is, you could probably guess, what is your interest rate? And everyone wants to know, what's the rate of interest they're going to pay? What are the closing costs going to be? What's my payment going to be? Well, the interest rate is probably the single most important thing to be focused on when you're getting a home loan.
And there's a lot of headlines out there like that. I mean, they talk about the Chinese devaluing currency last week, the economy. When are these interest rates going to change? So, yeah, there's a lot of press about that, too. So I imagine that's big on the client's mind.
It really is. And right now, we're hearing September rates are going to go up. But it's been interesting. In the last week or two, rates have actually softened a little bit. And, I was thinking we're going to see rates potentially even go up before September in anticipation of those changes.
Yep.
We haven't seen it yet, but that's still what is widely accepted is going to happen, is we're going to start seeing slow, modest increases come September. So one thing I always talk to clients about, and every single one of my clients that's building has done, is executed a 6-month rate lock. Now, the majority of lenders out there will wait until you're 30 to 45 days from closing to lock your interest rate. The problem is with that, let's say when you go in to meet with somebody, your interest rate is X, and you start building a house, and 5 months later, when you go to lock in your rate, it is now Y. Well, Y costs you $250 more a month than what you expected because of how much the interest rates have gone up. Maybe you don't qualify for that house anymore that you have under contract. Maybe you've sold your other one. You're living with family in the basement of mom's house.
Yeah.
So that could create a problem for you. For the builder, they're building a house for you, and if you no longer qualify because the payments have gone up so much and debt to income is too high, or maybe you do qualify but you just aren't comfortable with that payment, the builder's under a lot of risk because they've specialized this home for you. And now they have to go look to try to sell it to somebody else. So rising interest rates during construction is a big concern for a lot of people in the transaction, not just the borrower. Now, before we rolled this program out, we didn't really have a good mechanism for doing extended rate locks. They were just too expensive. They weren't attractive. And the client was X amount above what the current market rate is for 30 days. And they'd say, Tom, let's just wait until we're 30 to 45 days from completion and see what rates are at that time. Now, the problem is with that is they might have been saving money on, let's say it was 0.5% higher to do a 6-month rate lock. But then rates go up 0.75%. Well, they lost 0.25% by waiting to lock until their 30 days. So our 6-month rate lock that we have now, and it just actually got a new improvement, is we give you a 60-day rate plus 0.125%.
Wow.
And you get that for 6 months. There's no extra cost for it. There's no extended lock fee, nothing. So whatever the 60-day rate is, add 0.125% to that. if in the last 30 days of the build, rates are better, you have the option of floating down. So it's a win-win for everybody. If you're locking right now and you're taking 0.125% or higher than the current market rate, you're basically telling yourself, I think that rates will at least be an eighth of a percent higher than what they are right now. To me, I think that's a pretty safe bet, but that's up to the client to make that decision. Most payments, maybe that raises it 15, 20 bucks. But if all of a sudden rates are a half percent higher in 5 months and you got in an eighth percent over market rate 6 months ago, then you just alleviated a lot of risk for yourself. Now, on these, like I said, there is no extended lock fee. We charge a 1% deposit. So that deposit's like earnest money you would give to your realtor. You'll get that refunded back to your closing. It can go towards your down payment, closing costs, whatever. So I really, really, really like our six-month rate lock. And it just puts people at ease knowing exactly what their rate's going to be, exactly what their payment's going to be, and alleviates all that uncertainty.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great, great program. And you're pretty much at a no charge six-month rate lock, which is just kind of unheard of. So great program to roll out with Umpqua there. That sounds that sounds awesome, Tom. Thank you for that information. We do always like to get in a pick three of what's going on out there. This is always a little bit challenging for me because I prepared this. I was preparing for the show a day and a half ago, and I'm looking, and number one was a great three-bed, two-bath we had over off Belle Reve in South Richland for $140.
And it's gone?
It's gone. So pick three is a pick two today. So we were able to get that negotiated in just really the last 24 hours. So, and that's just the market, you know, like we talked about how things are going. So pick number two that I had on my list is an absolutely gorgeous home up in Canyon Lake. So this is a four-bedroom, three-bath home. Hardwood floors, just over 3,000 square feet. You've got the den and formal dining room. You've got a huge living room. The kitchen is full tile backsplash, stainless steel appliances, great big dining nook. This has the master on the main level. A lot of people are looking for that master on the main level that has heated tile floors, beautiful tiled shower. Really, really nice upper end stuff. We're talking athletic court beside the house with RV parking, just steps to the Canyon Lakes golf course, and we're talking $379,000.
Wow.
So great, great new property put on the market. Pick number three that I had, 2002 South Tacoma Street in Kennewick. This is a three-bed, two-bath home. Tacoma, super central location there, 1751 square feet. You've got a wood fireplace in the living room. The kitchen has tons of cabinets and counter space. Slider out to the patio. You've got a great master with the three-quarter bath and a family room on the lower level. Fence backyard, new paint outside. And we're talking $179,900. So there are some great properties still coming on the market right now. A lot of times in August, we get some of our best listing inventory. We kind of have that, you know, late summer, early fall where people are like, okay, the kids are going back to school. We had our summer. We're done with our vacations. Let's get a house on the market and get something sold before the end of the year. So we're seeing some great, great property out there. You can check those out at kenmoreteam.com. You know, sign up for our home search. And the alerts of the new properties that meet your criteria are very, very, very helpful because a lot of times, you know, maybe I'm recording the radio show or doing something and that system will shoot you an alert right away. You might even see it before I do. Mm-hmm. And then you're able to, you know, give us a call and say, hey, I just got the alert. There's a new property up. It's exactly what we've been looking for. Let's go ahead and take a look at it. I do have time for one quick more form change before we wrap up the show. One of the things that is, it's a minor change, but for us as agents, fixes one of the liabilities that we had. And that is a lot of times there's a big, big movement out there going on with who owns the rights to what photographs were taken. Okay, and so goes along with intellectual property rights and property rights. And a lot of times what happens as a listing agent is we will go on an appointment and we'll have pictures that we take, but then the seller will be like, hey, you know what? I have this fantastic overhead view of my home that was taken by a company that shows the overhead view. And why don't you use that in the listing information? And so as a listing agent, we're like, great, okay, I take that photo, put it in my system, it's out on the website, it's everywhere, and lo and behold, Lance Kenmore gets in the mail a letter from General Aviation Photography that says, hey, we noticed one of our pictures on 70 different websites, and we never gave you, Lance, the rights to use that photo. Mm. And so what a lot of times will happen is maybe the seller bought that photo. You know, these guys will take pictures with either drones or mm-hmm. planes. And that photo, when they sell it to the seller, might give them the right to hang it in their home, but might not give them the right to put it on all of those websites. And
we
out
go
there.
Through with that on our websites. We have yes. to be very careful where we get our photos from.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So inadvertently, I have now become liable for 70 violations of that photo to this company, General XXX Aviation, whatever, ABC Aviation. And so I'm liable now for that and didn't even know that. So one change we made is that the seller has to certify to us when they give photos, and be very careful, sellers and people, when you're giving photos to somebody else to use in that advertising medium, that you actually have the rights to that photo, or you took them yourselves, not a third party.
So. And this is a huge deal, folks, and we are not overemphasizing this.
Yeah.
Hundreds and hundreds of examples. I work in the media, I know.
Yeah.
Hundreds and hundreds of examples of every day where photographers, by way of second or third parties, go after people for intellectual property, and they say either pull the photo or pay me.
Yep.
It is huge.
Absolutely. And so because of that and what's going on in that industry, we've added language to give ourselves a protection in that case, because it's hard for me to know and be liable there. Now, of course, there were many other form changes that we've been educated on and that we're using. It would be way more than a 30-minute show to do that. I kind of put together this was the highlights of the form changes show for you. And we're going to be out there selling real estate. It is a great time of year. It's a little bit cooler. Properties are, yards are starting to even look a little bit better as we get, you know, past some of the 110 degree stuff. And so properties look great. Low inventory still. A lot of people out there looking. And as Tom said, the interest rates are still low. And we'll be right back here next week
on News Talk 870.